Okay, next up is the treasurer's report.
Well, it's been sort of busy in the treasurer's office this month since we're closing out, but go over a few things on the agenda just so that you've got them before we get to the agenda. Appropriations and certification for or certificate for available resources have been completed, balanced out, and not letting anybody do any more purchase orders or postings of any kind. The temporary appropriations are the same that we gave you last month as far as the one sheet for the just the blanket areas. There are extra items for advances due to a couple of the grants said we had to spend them before in no carryover in certain areas. So we had a deadline of asking for money from the state, and it didn't meet the deadline for the state to get the money in. So we are asking for those advances. And then the STRS, that's a change of their rules as far as what's going on with the increase of 1% and the way that we've set the in before. So we've got to change it to meet their rules. One thing that I'd really like to talk about is special ed catastrophic aid that we get money for. We have to apply for it a year afterwards. So this is from the students that we had in special ed that cost the district or are very expensive usually, either orthopedically handicapped or one-on-one aids or things like that, that they cost about $27,000 to $32,000 or more each year. We applied for over $284,000 for catastrophic aid, and this year we were able to receive $57,854. Doesn't seem like a whole lot. The state has a allocation and you get part of it. It's not 100%. It would be nice to be 100%, but this is the most that we've ever gotten for our catastrophic aid. So we've really dug deep and made sure that we've got everything in there that needs to be in there. The transportation, we have students that go to, they're transported to Columbus every day of the year, so in a van. So we've got the driver and that whole, and their tuition to that school. So it's a very cumbersome process to do, and Pam did a great job getting it all together this year and being able to recover some of our costs in that aid.
So what does the state base their decision upon when they spend that money out?
They just go, Tracy, I think it's just basically how much do we have, how much have you applied for, and just take a percent of it. Everybody gets whatever percent it is, and that's what they base it
on. So it depends on how many people apply for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how much is applied for and how much is in that line item on their appropriations.
So they don't do it per student?
No.
It's just...
No. Unfortunately. The other thing that we need to discuss is our bond refinancing, and I sent everybody out information yesterday, and then I received a call from Fifth Third today and said, I need to talk to you right away. I'm like, okay, what's going on? Ben Bernanke made some comments yesterday, and if anybody's been following the stock market,
it's been imploding.
It imploded today. I think, gold took a $1,300 an ounce drop in prices today. So the comments were that the feds are thinking about not holding as many bonds, and they're just trying to do a few things. Nothing's happening right now. They said maybe the fall they do it, but the stock markets went crazy. So the bond markets went crazy. So basically, what we gave you yesterday, or what I sent to you yesterday, was that tax exempt, and if we did the tax exempt bonds only, we'd have about a 7% savings overall. And if we did tax exempt and taxable bonds, we'd still be in the savings of 3.25%. Right now, there is no savings if we do taxable and tax-exempt bonds. So that option's totally off the market. The savings is not over 3%. It makes no sense to make that refinance if it's not over the 3%. So we weren't going to sell until July the 2nd. That's a short week. We're sort of hesitant on that just because of what's going on, because of the volatility of the market right now. We might even push it back to July the 8th, the following week, to see where the prices are.
I'm about to say, see if the water calms
down. Yeah, see if everything calms down a little bit.
Has John weighed in on that?
Yeah, John's Kathleen that works with John that called me today and said, we need to wait. And right now, it does not make sense to do the combined or the taxable bonds at all.
I mean, at one point, they were talking that, looking at the other direction, if it dropped a quarter of a point, that it
right.
would erase a lot of our gains. And
right.
so I just think that, even if you can get a little bit of an uptick from where we're at, especially since you're waiting, so you're not doing that double payment.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what we're going to look at. We're just sort of going to hold for right now. 10 basis points. If both of them went up 10 basis points, we wouldn't have that savings. The taxable or the tax exempt are what's really going crazy today. The taxable is sort of holding still, but still it's not enough to make that difference of the tax exempt to come down, because the tax exempt is 7%. We're still looking probably, she still thinks there's about 7%. It was about 7.5% before. So we're still at 7% savings on the tax exempt. So we just need to hold and only do what we need to do at the time. So that's, when we did the resolution, we said we'll put it on for all. We'll do what we need to do at that point. But right now, it's just been a very volatile situation.
Is there a timeline where we have to start all over again if we wait too long? Or
no,
okay,
no.
So we can wait until we feel
it's
right.
Yeah. I would say we're pretty good until probably August even.
Okay.
Because we've done all the information with Moody's and Standards and Poor's. So our bond rating, when I was talking to Moody's, they were very pleased with our projections. They were very pleased with what was happened. So that was a good thing. In fact, he said, had we come back to him in the fall, that the negative connotation would probably even come off of our rating. So as long as we keep that going, he was very happy. We talked about the cash flow policy, the cash reserves, and all. Very pleased with that. So that's helped
that
out.
That had to help.
That helped out a lot. The forecast as we presented it helped out a lot. So we're headed in the right direction for the bonds and all. And, if we don't do all of them this year, that's fine. We can do them in another year, a couple more years, what we do. But as long as we're still looking and saving as much as possible each time we look, and it makes sense to do them, then we'll just do what we need to do at that point. So, as I said, it blew up today. It was. I started listening to some of the stations and listening to some of them, and they're like, we don't understand why it happened. Because they really didn't do anything. They just said, in the fall, or we want to start looking at this as part of the economic holdback and not needing to have all the stimulus out there that's out there.
So our threshold is 3%, right?
Our threshold is 3%.
I just want to be clear, because you had
yes.
asked the question, what did you guys want to do? And I'm pretty right. sure 3% was the threshold we were not going to
yeah.
go below.
Yes.
So, okay.
Yeah. So that's
okay.
my report.
Alrighty. Any questions for Cindy? Alrighty. Next up is the Ohio High Point Report.
We had yesterday was just kind of wasn't a very exciting day. Normally we have students come in and talk about all the great things they're doing. Yesterday it was like all business. So we did the end of the year finances, which that was pretty exciting. We ended up, what?
I'm sorry, I didn't hit the split button. You're all right.
I thought you were like, another end of your finances.
Yeah.
but, yeah, we're going to finish the year out with $8.1 million in cash, which is $900,000 better than where we were last year.
Oh, nice.
So we approved temporary appropriations, but very much like ours here, it's things are going to change. But our current appropriations that we approved last night, he expects they will go down, the actual budget will go down, and it still right now it still sticks with their don't spend more than you take in. So he says he's going to stick with that as much as he can. We had we did an evaluation on the treasurer, and you know, Eric's been there 14 years or something like that.
Wow.
And he's been there a long time, maybe even longer than that. For some reason, 14 sticks in my head. But he got a 4.95 overall rating out of 5.
Not bad.
14-member board. Not a
wow, that's a...
When you can increase 14 members, that's pretty impressive. And, you know, and then typical, I don't know if you've met Eric before, any of you guys. Mm-hmm. I know, Cindy, you've met him. He's just the most humble. He's confident, but he's very humble.
Yeah, we had dinner with him up at the banquet this year.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He sat with our, yeah, he sat at our tips. Oh, sat down with our tips.
He must sit on your end then.
Yeah.
But he, yeah. You know, he gave all his credit to the people that work for him. So we had... we belong to a consortium, a healthcare consortium out there, and the consortium's looking at moving to self-funded. So that was probably his time. There was a one-page bullet item list, and he went through each bullet item, pros and cons, and 5 minutes each bullet item. Basically, the long and short of it is, if we stick with, full, how do we get the right terminology here, but if we...
Fully funded?
Fully funded, yes. Is that right? Okay. That we'll get, there's basically an 8% additional cost we'll take on with no additional value just because of the new healthcare law. So they're really seriously looking, the consortium's looking at doing, self-funded, and they talked about the pros and cons of that. And I got a sheet that they handed out. If anybody's interested, I'll scan it and send it on. Let's see what else we talk about.
Your end of the year quiz.
Yes, yeah, that was pretty. We didn't talk about it. I was the only one who brought that up. It was in the board packet. Oh. I thought that was. I was surprised to see the quiz in the actual board packets. But
don't let that get out.
What's that? Well, I think the whole point is that you know the right answers, right?
So, yeah. I'll admit I had to go look something up.
Oh, I know. There was some on there. There was definitely some on there. But I was very encouraged by some of the things they were emphasizing in that. We talk about a small amendment to the budget bill that's really going to impact High Point, all career techs, and I'm glad you're aware of it, but it's the one, in fact, I mentioned the last meeting, but it's still in there, the one where basically career tech boards will now, if this passes, career tech boards will be appointed local business people as opposed to, board. In fact, you can't appoint board members to that board. So you can't even appoint board members from another district. You just has there. The rumor is that there's some guy who's a little mad at another career tech, some legislator, and so he's cramming it through. But I get the spirit of it. But we had an executive session yesterday, and some of the discussions that we were having during that executive session. You had a 14-member board. Some of those people have been there 10 years, and it's just so valuable to have people that have that experience, knowledge of education, and I don't know how a board can operate without having that. And so if this passes, it'll basically, in 2 years, the entire board would be replaced with
just
local business.
Who appoints them?
The school board. So this school board would appoint somebody from our area.
Oh, I see.
Which, I think opening it up so that you can do that is not a bad idea. I just don't think requiring it
or
forbidding us to, so... I'd probably make a call to Dave Burke and
Dorothy
tomorrow, something like that. Let's see. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Hit it all. So.
Okay, great. Thank you. Go ahead.